The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, as I mentioned, it's good to be back. But I was on vacation just week before last, I got a chance to visit an old friend in Seattle. And we drove from his house over to Green Lake, which is a big park in the middle of the city. And we walked around the lake, which is about a 3-mile stroll. And as we walked, we talked. He's a close friend, the kind you can be honest with. So along with all the positives, we also talked about defeats and fears. And we reminisced that the last time we'd walked around Green Lake together was 28 years earlier. He'd just moved back to Seattle and was trying to figure out his next step. And I was on the cusp of the most difficult period in my life, what we now refer to as our hard year. So 28 years ago, we walked around Green Lake and talked about our defeats and fears, just like the week before last. Part of the human experience for all of us, I suspect, is a deep longing sometimes that things were not the way they are. A deep longing that things were different. Some of us wish things were different in our professional lives, or different in our relationships, maybe different in our marriages. Some of us wish our children would have an easier time of it. Some of us wish our parents would understand. Some of us have longings and fears so personal and private, and heartbreaking sometimes, that we dare not speak them to anyone. All of us sometimes wish we hadn't, or wish we had, but we didn't. And now it's too late. We wish we could, but we can't. And it's tragic. It's just part of the human condition, I suppose, that we long for things to be different, but we're powerless to change things, it seems. That's why the idea of faith is so appealing. We just read this episode in the life of Jesus from Matthew 15, which concludes with Jesus almost gushing, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." Be it done for you as you desire. Are those the most magnetic words ever spoken, or what? I'd love it if everything was done as I desire. That would satisfy my longing that things be different. You know, there are preachers who would approach this text this way. Jesus praised the woman's great faith. So how do we develop great faith? Here's 7 faith-building exercises you can start doing today to become a faith champion. That's how some would approach this episode in the life of Jesus. But I wouldn't approach it that way at all, because it misses the point. The story isn't about what the woman did. It's about what Jesus did for her and what he does for you. The story is not so much about the faith of the woman. It's primarily about the mercy, compassion, and goodness of Jesus towards someone to whom he was not obligated in any way to help. But he helped anyway, out of love. Here's the context. Facing persecution from the Pharisees in the region of Galilee, Jesus, along with his disciples, retreated to where the Pharisees would not follow, the area of Canaan, which contained the Mediterranean coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon. This was not a Jewish area. The people were Canaanites, longtime enemies of the Jews. In fact, we learn in Deuteronomy 20 that the practices of the Canaanites, including the sacrifice of their children to fire, the practices of the Canaanites were so abominable that God instructed the Israelites to exterminate the Canaanites upon entering the promised land. So there was some history here between the Canaanites and the Israelites. Well, this Canaanite woman whose daughter was oppressed by a demon apparently had some knowledge of Jesus, who he was, and his ability to heal. But the remarkable thing about this woman was her tenacity and her trust that Jesus could help her. Where did that come from? Well, we're taught in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and elsewhere that faith is a gift given to us, conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit. And the tools used by the Holy Spirit to inculcate faith within us are God's Word and His sacraments. You know, we start our worship every Sunday with the announcement that we've gathered to receive the gifts of God. One of the primary gifts of God is faith. And one thing that happens here on Sunday mornings, whether you realize it or not, is that the Holy Spirit uses God's Word and God's body and blood in the bread and wine to gift us with faith and to expand our existing faith. It's certainly nothing I do, and it's certainly nothing we can conjure up on our own. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, usually completely unbeknownst to us. But back to the story. It's interesting that we read this story and make the assumption that this Canaanite woman is being rewarded for her deep faith. It's interesting because there's an almost identical situation in Mark 9 where a father approaches Jesus with a son who is also tormented by an evil spirit. The difference between the two stories, though, is that this father has very little faith. And he cried out to Jesus in desperation, "I believe, help my unbelief." So what did Jesus do? He healed the son of the man with little faith, just as he healed the daughter of the woman with great faith. The point being, we don't earn God's goodness and mercy. We don't even earn it by having great faith. So the bottom line is, You are completely dependent on God's goodness and mercy. And so, you can relax because God is thoroughly good and merciful. You know that friend of mine I walked around Green Lake with week before last? 3 years ago, he had a heart attack while driving. He drove through a fence and hit a commercial building and lay unconscious and without a heartbeat for at least 12 minutes. The paramedics came and took him to a hospital where he lay in a coma for 6 weeks. It was anticipated that if he ever woke up, he'd be in a vegetative state. He coached basketball at a big Catholic high school in Seattle, one of the most successful high school basketball coaches in the state. He's well known in the Catholic community. There were a lot of people praying for him. Our prayers are not always answered with a miracle. But this year, my friend is going to coach again. He's also teaching again. And I hate to admit it, but honestly, it sort of irritates me that this guy who is supposed to be in a vegetative state, I think his memory is better than mine. He's a guy whose faith I would describe like this. I believe. Help my unbelief. But God, in his mercy and goodness, spared his life anyway. You can't earn God's favor and kindness, not even with great faith. But the good news is, his favor and kindness are bestowed on you even when your faith wavers, simply because God loves you. You have great faith, and also you have little faith. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it's not up to us, that we're not required to do what we cannot do and conjure up faith on our own. But the faith we have is a gift from you. And we are dependent only on your love and mercy and compassion toward us. And your love and mercy and compassion never fail. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.